Our next guest is a continuing sessional instructor in the History and Gender Studies departments at the University of Victoria, where she's taught such courses as A History of Sexuality and Gender, Power, and Difference. Dr. Georgia Sitara is interested in how gender, race, ethnicity, class, sexuality, and age function to distribute power and shape historical experiences. Please welcome Georgia Sitara to Before Play.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Nice to see you. Now, you have not seen the play, but you've read it. And I wonder what in what you read, what are some of the ideas in the play that had you excited to read it?
Well, it's a play about Henry, one of Henry VIII's wives, but it's not a wife that I was familiar with, a lesser known wife. Perhaps we've all seen the Boleyn films, and even David Starkey, who's made a video series on Henry VIII's wives, she only gets half an episode. She doesn't even get her own episode. So it was really exciting to find out more about her. Also, she was one of his wives who got to keep her head, and she made excellent use of it. I also really love the fact that this is not a story about one woman's quest for power for her own right. This is about a woman who is taking an opportunity to do good things, and she's going to lift other women up with her, and she's also going to help with Edward. She's also important for Edward's education. So I thought that was really exciting. Also, we have a lot of dramatizations of, let's say, Jane Austen, our heroines that are strong, independent, smart, capable, but they're young women. They're 21, and not that Catherine Parr was that old. She was 31 when she married Henry, but she was twice married and twice widowed through no fault of her own. But it's an she gets a new chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, and we need those kinds of stories of women who continue to make change and live deep and powerful lives even as we age. So I really loved all that about the play.
Now, in the play, when Henry reinstates Elizabeth and Mary into the line of succession, he likens it to the bloodline of a racehorse being traced through the stallion and discredits the importance of the mare. Can you talk about how the idea of patriarchy has influenced our culture and our sense of ourselves in history?
Thank you, Gregor. Patriarchy is about male supremacy or privileging of men. And we have come a long way, I think, since Henry VIII's time. Women can hold property, for instance. But it continues to shape our lives in two fundamental ways. I'll just give two examples. One is the wage gap. We still in our society consider that men are the prime earners for their families. And statistics from 2011 show that, in fact, Canadian women are still earning 72 cents on the dollar for every dollar that men make. And, of course, we have so many female-headed households that it doesn't really actually reflect men being the top earners. And as we know in our economy, in fact, every dollar counts for men and for women. But women are not promoted. They're still funneled into lower paid work. They are still largely responsible for their household responsibilities, all domestic work, childcare, elderly care. And it means that in a context in which we have contributory pensions, if you contribute less over your lifetime, we have more women who are older who are living under the poverty line or close to it when they're older. And it's not just women who don't have a lot of education. The wage gap closes a little bit when we have women in higher education, but it doesn't close totally. We have a new publication recently about the Canadian Historical Association. It was an article produced by Elise Chenier, Laurie Chambers, and Anne Taves, and they said that the 2014 Canadian Historical Association prizes the majority of those prizes still went to men. So women's intellectual work is still not valued as highly. Women are still not promoted. Their books are still not being reviewed. So we're still facing many of those same challenges.
I'm glad you mentioned the historical association. I wanted to ask you about history, an interesting word, and the fact that, I mean, over the centuries, it's primarily been written by men. And this play looks at events through the eyes of a woman. I wonder how you think the perspective might change our own perceptions of history.
Traditionally, history has been written with men at the center, and assuming that they are the agents of history, the decision makers, the doers, and that they hold everything up on their own. And adding women to the mix shows that, in fact, we are not independent actors. We work all together, and that women also make history, respond to history, that they're important members of their families and communities. So since the 1970s, we've had an explosion of women's history, which meant that we looked at things in addition to the mainstream political economic elite. So we have a history of motherhood, a history of single women, a history of women workers, histories of women artists. And bringing into the center regular, ordinary, everyday people. And by doing that, our feminist historians ask the question of femininity. They argued that femininity and masculinity were defined in relationship to each other, which actually opened the door to studying everyday men. Because we found out that, in fact, we didn't really know that much about everyday men's experience and what it meant to be a man. And now we have an explosion of masculinity studies that actually has come from our study of women. So those are some of the things that we can gain from adding women into how we think about the past.
Now, the Catherine Parr of this play values education as a tool to gain power and advancement for her wards, Mary and Elizabeth. How important is education for the advancement of women in contemporary society, do you think?
I think that education is so important for all of us. It gives us the skills, the tools, the knowledge, the language, to access opportunities, as Kate Parr says in the play. We can't do without those things. At the same time, what's important about this play is that Kate educates Mary and Elizabeth alongside Edward. So it's about educating our daughters alongside our sons. And I think the other piece about the play that matters is that it's about educators valuing girls as students and giving them and believing in them so that they are fostered. Bell Hooks is an American feminist, and she says that as late as the 1950s, when she was at university, her teachers were not taking her seriously. So it's also about teachers believing in their students and taking them seriously, both girls and boys, men and women.
What about women asserting political power? The Last Wife explores this idea of a woman trying to assert some political power, particularly at a time where it was a lot less common than it is today, and not saying it's common enough. But do you think women need to formally enter politics to affect political change?
Certainly. I think we need women in all areas of power in our society, from the parliament, the senate, the judiciary, the universities. We need to be reading women. They have to be everywhere. At the same time, power is everywhere, and our story is a domestic drama that reminds us that women wield power everywhere, and they wield power in their families, and they make a difference wherever they are. So even if we don't enter politics formally, we can all still make a difference.
Has a difference been made when you look at, and I'm veering off, but I can't help but wonder, every time I look at the newspapers, about the German Chancellor Angela Merkel and the British Prime Minister Theresa May and possibly U.S. President Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's tempting to look at it simply and say, well, equality has been achieved. I wonder what you think of more women being in positions of serious political power and how it reflects advancements that have been made, but also might in some ways mask what equality hasn't been achieved.
That's a great question. We also have Christy Clark. We don't have to go that far to find a political woman leader.
Sure. Or Rachel Notley, yes.
So I think it's really important to give women the opportunity to lead heads of state. We need to give them that opportunity. But the real question is, will women make substantially different decisions when they're holding power? Will they revolutionize the world? We can't. We have to move away from an essentialist idea that just because you're a woman, you're going to actually make different kinds of decisions. And that is what we really, really need, are different kinds of decisions. And that will depend on all of us electing the right kinds of people so that we can actually transform the world in a way that's better for all of us. My family is... I was just going to say that my family is Greek, and Angela Merkel has not done very many good things for Greeks.
But no, I'm gonna promise I won't get off track too far. But I'm not Angela Merkel's advocate. I know I've spoken to a lot of Greek people who say, "My goodness, Germany's attitude toward Greeks." But on the other hand, I've read a lot of people asking the question: if a German chancellor had been male, would he have allowed hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees? And I mean, I'm just curious if you ever look at female leaders and think, actually, I do wonder if the world is changing, the decisions are changing because women are in power.
I don't see good things coming from Angela Merkel.
Right. All right. Well, we'll skip that because that's... Well, we should have a coffee over that one.
I'd
be
it.
Interested. I'm not her advocate, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. But we are talking about a play here. This is the Belfry Theatre. And before I let you go, I do want to ask you a question I asked Esther earlier. What do you hope audiences take away from The Last Wife?
I actually wrote some things down. Let me look at my notes because this Merkel thing has taken me to Greece. I was thinking that I hope that this play inspires audience members to think about familiar things and new ways. I thought it was an opportunity. I hope it inspires people to think about those stories that we've been told and to think about them in from new perspectives that give us that tell us that those stories still hold secrets and promise. I hope that the play will help you think about and value women both in the past and in your lives, in the moment. And finally, I think that the play is a good reminder that all of us are always making history.
Thank you, Georgia.
Thank you.
Georgia Sitara. Georgia Sitara is a continuing sessional instructor in the History and Gender Studies departments at the University of Victoria. Thank you to Georgia, and thank you to all four of our guests once again.